Oh, what's going on? Hope you're enjoying your Friday morning. Hit us up. Feel free. 877-99 on Fox. I will get to the calls in just a little bit. But we've been talking NBA tonight. But you know me. I love me some ball. Love football. I'm a football guy first. And there was something that caught my attention today. I wanted to bring it up. So on Thursday, I caught a couple of sound bites from some NFL quarterbacks. That's right. There's some sound bites. And it got me thinking of Aaron Rodgers. Now, let's start with mature quarterbacks for a second here, and I'll weave my way to the immature Aaron Rodgers. Now, not necessarily known as the beacon of maturity, one Baker Mayfield. So Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, they are eligible for contract extensions. And so they're being asked about this, like, hey, is this on your mind? Are you starting to get itchy about getting a deal signed? So let's start with Baker Mayfield. Here's what he said about being eligible for a contract extension.
I'm in no rush because I'm just trying to win games. And like I said, it'll handle itself. I don't try and feed too much into that because, you know, that's like wasting my time, energy, and thought process on stuff that I'm not in control of right now. So I'm going to handle what I can control.
Okay. All right. Nice response. Mature. Here's Lamar Jackson, Ravens quarterback, former MVP, eligible for a contract extension. Is this weighing on his mind?
You know, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not really focused on that right now. I'm focused on getting me a Super Bowl. You know, I'm focused on getting better.
Okay. Very mature as well. Team first attitude. Not playing the, I'm a former league MVP. Show me the money. He's like, it's going to happen. I'm not worried about it. I'm just focused on winning. Then we go to Aaron Rodgers here. I understand they're not all the same situation. There are going to be differences, but I am just looking at the quarterbacks. Are they handling their situation maturely or immaturely? So here is Aaron Rodgers. Of course, he's got reason to be bent. We've been through it. You don't need to go through the litany of reasons. They could have drafted someone in the first round last year that, I don't know, could have played and helped their pursuit of winning a championship instead of being the heir to the quarterback throne, if you will, with Jordan Love. So I understand he's bent about that. Some other things have rubbed him the wrong way. There's reason for him to be frustrated, but it's all about how he's handling it. So this was Aaron Rodgers a little earlier in the week. Let it wash over you.
It's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this off season has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
Oh, my Lord. Are you kidding me right now? Seriously. Can you not hear the difference in maturity of young quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, compared to how Aaron Rodgers is handling this situation with the Packers? And make no mistake, Baker Mayfield has not been the source of maturity. You're talking about a dude who's done some very immature things over the years. Running from the cops while sloshed, that would qualify, right? There's also him calling out his own teammate, running back Duke Johnson, saying, the train's moving ahead. Either you're on board or you're not. He was getting involved in somebody else's contract situation. So he's done silly things before. He's said many silly things. Baker Mayfield actually went on a tour before the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and he's like, I got to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more mature, and yada, yada. He's backing it up right now. He could say, look at what I did last year. The light bulb came on. Josh Allen with the Bills. Same thing with him in year three. I stepped it up in year three. I want my cash. And he's not saying that at all. He's like, it'll happen. Not worried about it. Same thing with Lamar Jackson, a former league MVP. You realize that Lamar Jackson's base salary in 2021 is $1.7 million. There are plenty of players that have gotten paid after 3 years in the league. Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt. So he could be one of these guys that says, give me my cash. Xavien Howard, who's a cornerback with the Dolphins, he is holding out right now. Head coach Brian Flores says it's a unique situation. So Howard signed an extension in 2019. Over $70 million, five-year deal. He wants it redone. He's like, wait a minute, I'm not the top-paid corner anymore? There are multiple guys in front of me? No. This isn't working. The point is, Baker and Lamar could be about themselves. They could be about their own situations instead of taking the high road publicly and saying, it's going to sort itself out. I'm not worried about it. I'm focused on the team. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers just continues to act up. Aaron Rodgers is like a kid whose parents just don't put him in check. That's what Aaron Rodgers is acting like this whole offseason. He's promoting the match, that golf event. He's wearing a t-shirt. I'm offended. You heard the sound that we just played. That's kind of cool to kick back and not have responsibilities where I kind of get the best of both worlds. Technically, I'm an NFL player, but I'm not doing anything. I'm skipping mini camps. Really, dude? He's just acting like a kid. And I think a lot of people see that. I understand he has more than enough reason to be frustrated, but that's not good enough. You can't handle your frustration in any way and then just say, well, I got reason to be frustrated, so I can pretty much say or do whatever I want. No, it doesn't work like that. Aaron Rodgers isn't being close to being a leader or handling his situation maturely. He's just acting up. He's like the guy that grew up in a strict household and went to college and just let loose and is like, oh my gosh, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. That's how Aaron Rodgers is acting this offseason. He's acting like a child. And just because he won league MVP and was extraordinary last season, no one's doubting his talent. There are a lot of people that will give him a free pass. He doesn't deserve it at all. Not even a bit, the way he's handling it. I just think it's been a joke. I'm Brian Noe, in for Big Ben here on Fox Sports Radio. Before I get to MGM John, a couple of tweets here. Todd checked in. We were talking about some of the more memorable sporting events that we've seen in person. And I just thought this was funny. He checked in and wrote, I was at the Cardinals-Phillies game back in the 90s when the fans threw batteries at J.D. Drew. Certainly memorable. Yeah, that qualifies. Also, Ryan checked in on Twitter. At the No Show is where you can find me. He writes, I'm with Romosexual. Sporting event fights are awesome. Screw the soft-ass NBA. 80s, 90s NBA guys used to get punched in the mouth on the court. Okay, listen, this whole conversation has taken a turn where we're getting off track. So I started talking about Suns fan who beat up a Nuggets fan a handful of days ago, right? It was game 3 between the Suns and Nuggets, and Suns fan just wallops the other guy. Devin Booker hooks up the Suns fan, gives him a signed jersey, and gives him tickets for a Western Conference Finals game. And I just made the point, that's not in the NBA's best interest. It's not as if somebody tells Adam Silver about this. Hey, did you hear about this, Adam? Yeah, so here's the deal, Kamish. Suns fan just, I mean, gives the 1-2 and then some. We're talking uppercuts, left hooks, jabs. This guy should be in the UFC, really. And he just crushes this Nuggets fan. And Devin Booker hooked him up with the signed jersey and tickets to the Western Conference Finals. Do you think Adam Silver is like, no way! You serious? That is hilarious. Oh, man, that made my day. How do I retweet that? Really? No, because he thinks of it as a business, all right? He's not thinking of it like you and me, where we're scrolling through Twitter and we see this epic fighting video in the stands and we're like, oh, my gosh, he wrecked that guy. He's operating a business. So there's no way that Adam Silver is looking at that and going, this is great. Oh, my gosh. How do we encourage more of this in our stands? No, he's looking at it. Oh, my gosh. I've got a star player in Devin Booker who's not only advocating violence, rewarding violence. Not good. Not good for the NBA. And I know I got to be the one guy. We're having a party here. There's loud music. People are doing keg stands. And I'm the one that walks in and says, hey, guys, the cops might show up. We're a little loud right now. No one wants that guy around. I get it. But what I'm saying is true. I'm just encouraging you to look at it from a different perspective than your own. It's different when you're scrolling through Twitter compared to how Adam Silver will look at that situation. Now, I talked to Charlie last hour. Charlie's basically calling me soft. He's like, yeah, no, with your frosted tips and you sticking out your pinky every time you sip your lattes over there in the Pacific Northwest. It's like, not about that at all. Me, from my perspective, yeah, I love seeing fights. I thought it was entertaining, but I'm not looking at that from the NBA's point of view. If you sit here and try to convince me that it's good for the NBA that Devin Booker is rewarding violence, you're a moron. That's just what it boils down to. I know it's, we can agree to disagree. No, you're a freaking moron is what it comes down to. You can love it. I'm not saying that you have to dislike it. I'm just saying the NBA is not looking at that and saying, oh, this is awesome like you might. That's the only point I'm making. Now, with that, let me get out to the phones here real fast. My guy, MGM John, he's gone. All right. Man, did you hear my momentum that was just disrupted by MGM John? My guy. He's like, you know what? I got things to do this evening. You know, no, I don't have time to be waiting around for you to talk about Aaron Rodgers and not quite bum fights, but crowd fights.
Were you ever involved in a fight in the crowd, Brian, back in the day when you were a youngster?
No, I was never in a crowd fight. You?
Of course.
Yeah? Who was it? Was it a one of those Giants fans back in the day at
who
a Dodgers game?
Nah, the Giants fans are too soft for me.
They're too soft.
Yeah, you... they didn't step up to me.
Who was? What kind of fan
Raiders,
was it?
Raiders Chargers.
You got? Did you pummel a Chargers fan?
Yeah, of course.
What'd you get him with? Was it the 1-2 or the left hook?
Left, right.
Left, right. Yeah. You give him the little two-piece right there. I want to know the whole story. What led to it? Was he like, Philip Rivers is the man. You guys wish you had Philip Rivers. I know you do. What was it?
What led to it was probably that I was S-faced drunk, Brian. That's what probably led to it. That's number one.
Yeah. And you just saw someone with a bolt on their T-shirt and swung away?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, that was my mentality like an idiot back in the day. Now I've changed. I'm a father now. So
yeah, you're a mature,
yeah,
law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
Not as fun anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever. MGM is back.
Idiots doing the same thing now. So
no doubt. My guy MGM John is back. I don't know what happened, MGM John. I don't know if you heard it. I was in this. You ever see, like, Chris Middleton has a lather going on, right? Like, he sweats a decent amount, or Shaq. I had a good lather going on in the first segment, and I threw it to you, and Coop whispers, he's like, MGM John is gone. He's not there anymore.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that no-show. I'm going to have to tell you one thing. Is like, you know, Chris Middleton, great game for him on that game 6, but I believe game 7 will be a massive flop again for the Bucks, because they're going to lose somehow to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's going to go for another 50 burger. James Harden, believe it or not, may go for 30. And then Kyrie's out as usual. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Aaron Rodgers, he's a big crybaby. He's from California of all places. You know how Californians are. They're a big crybaby. I don't get what I want. I'm taking my toys.
That was a pretty good impression right there, MGM John. Now, I want to know what we're betting, because there is no way Mr. Limited, which is James Harden with the hamstring injury, is dropping 30. There is no way that's happening. What are we betting?
Well, I'm betting that the odds with Game 7 at Brooklyn, we can't see, is that they are actually plus 160 somehow, because of what's going on with James Harden scoring only 16, and KD has to go another 40 points, basically. But what we're seeing is that Well, I can guess that. I'm trying to see right now because I've got a buddy of mine from MGM just trying to hook me up with the game. But unfortunately, like, you know, you got to keep it private. You know, you want to change the outcome.
See, I can notice that you're just filling time here because, you know, I called you out. And if we're setting the line at James Harden's point total at 29.5, there is no way the over is hitting. And you're trying to go misdirection on me, MGM John. You're like, oh, shoot, I didn't know we were going to bet on this. I was just speaking hyperbolically, right? Like, you know you don't want to bet. Harden's not sniffing 30 points.
I have to bet James Harden going 30. That's the only way you can beat the Bucks. I mean, if Giannis has to go for 30, then I'm going to take the over on Giannis going 30. If Chris Middleton has to go maybe, let's say, 25, then I might take the under.
Yeah. Okay, MGM John. Well, so you're going real fast, so I get it. You go Nets game 7, you think the Bucks are going to choke, and you've got the Beard going for 30 points.
Beard going over 30, yeah.
Man, I just...
KD will have his usual 35 and 40, over 35, I guarantee that.
Yeah. All right, we'll see how it goes, MGM John. Thanks for checking in. There he is. Live in Vegas. He didn't want to bet it, you know? He didn't want to bet it with me. It's all right. KD will have a special game in game 7. There's no way that guy's going to be a no-show. But the heart... James is just limited. Harden is completely limited right now. The hamstring isn't right. He's not dropping 30. I don't see that at all. All right, plenty to get to. 877-99 on Fox is how you get on in. Coming up, reputations on the line. We'll discuss. I'm Brian Noe, in for Big Ben. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow Big Ben on Twitter at Ben Maller, or filling in for Big Ben, it's Brian Noe. He is on Twitter at The Noe Show. Also, give Roberto, our technical producer, a follow. He is on the Twitter game at Raider_Rob24, and right now he is wearing his signed James Loney Dodger jersey. With that, we bounce the microphone back to a man filling in for Ben, who is at a yoga retreat. It's Brian Noe.
By the way, real fast here, Big B, got a tweet from MGM John. In all caps, he just writes, "No show. You forgot that I was about to give Big B the support of the Fenley Fanatics, a new group that rivals the Maller Militia." Now, I didn't forget because I didn't know. I had no idea that's what he intended to do. But apparently he was going to give you some audible dap over there, Brian Fenley. Sorry about that, man.
It's a growing revolution, this Fenley Fanatic movement. And the Maller Militia, namely Ben Maller, ceases to think that it exists. But
do you have a pledge yet, as Ben does?
I do. I haven't memorized it, but I can bring it. I actually have it written down in an email, and I can actually come back and read it to you. It's only 3 lines, and I know Coop is dying to see. As I'm saying this, Brian, you should see Coop's face. He's literally just shaking his head and saying, "What a clown this guy is."
You could see it, right? Was he trying to conceal it, or were you just able to tell that's what he was thinking?
I mean, I'm looking right at him. I'm getting a side profile of Coop right now through the glass, and he is literally, he couldn't be just more frustrated, just more annoyed, all of the above.
Love that. Yeah.
I state your name.
I think yours should start with that, Brian Fenley, just in case somebody falls for it. That's always great for a drop. I think that's how the pledge should start. Very well done. Love that. Okay, so reputations on the line. That would be, like, listen, things look great for the Bucks right now on the heels of a Game 6 win. But Giannis's reputation, you got to come through in a Game 7. Paul George, things look great right now. They won Game 5 on the road, got a chance to close out the Fool's Gold Jazz. That's why I call them. I think that they are a try-hard regular season team that couldn't even beat the Kawhi-less Leonard Clippers at home in a Game 5. I don't believe in them. Donovan Mitchell is a sensational player, but he's not going off for 40 game in and game out. When he scores 21 like he did in game five.
What if they had Mike Conley?
That would help things for sure. But I'm not going to have a bleeding heart when the Clippers don't have Kawhi, you know? But yeah, to your point, Roberto, Mike Conley's a good player. I'm not going to make him out to be, you know, vintage Mike Conley or this perennial all-star, but he's a good player. He makes a difference. We'll see if he can go in game six with that hamstring injury or not.
Yeah, he gives a lot of his teammates easy shots, open looks that they normally, you know, they would get those with him, but harder, and everybody's got to try a little harder with him not out there.
Yeah. It's just, it's attrition, man. It's one of those things. It's crazy in the playoffs this year. But in terms of Giannis and Paul George, although things are positive right now, they can turn in a very quick way if they don't continue to get it done. It's like a lot of people, they're just waiting to pounce, right? There are certain athletes. Tom Brady is one of those athletes. People are just waiting to pounce. If he doesn't get it done, if he falters in the playoffs, man, people act like it's Christmas came early, right? LeBron, that's another athlete. People are waiting to pounce. I feel that Giannis and Paul George are two of those athletes where, especially Paul George, I think Paul George is called out more than Giannis. Even though Giannis is a two-time MVP, there's just something about when Paul George falters, man, oh man, the criticism is crazy. And don't get me wrong, he's had some playoff stinkers, and he has deserved to be called out at times. I just think the criticism goes far beyond the reality. Paul George has scored 30-plus points in three straight games. He was sensational in Game 5. His stat line's 37-16-5 on the road against Utah, the team with the best record in the regular season. That's a great performance. I just look at Paul George. He's sort of like the anti-Vegas. What I mean is we just celebrate Vegas's wins. If we're looking at point spreads, the conversation is always, oh, man, how's Vegas so accurate? In the Akron Western Michigan game, how did they have it as a six-point spread? Like, we only credit Vegas when they're really accurate. When they're way off, we don't call it out. We don't say, what were they thinking there? Man, Tampa wrecked Kansas City. What kind of point spread was that? We never say that. Paul George is the opposite. We don't celebrate the good things. We don't say, man, Paul George, 37 points without Kawhi Leonard. Unfreaking believable. It's a toned down, yeah, it was a good performance. But when he stinks, oh my gosh, it's like everybody has a megaphone. This guy falters again. And, right? That's how it goes. He's the anti-Vegas. We celebrate his failures more than his successes. He's just that guy. Unfortunately, I don't know how it became that way, but here's where we are. But the point is that Giannis and Paul George, if they continue what they're doing, Giannis had a good game in game six. If he has another good game and they take down the Nets, that's going to do a lot to change his playoff reputation. Same thing with playoff P. A lot of people say that mockingly, like, playoff P, kidding me, the guy who wets himself. He's got to put together another studly performance, and if they close out the Jazz, it's going to be a major step toward changing his playoff reputation. So reputation's on the line, in particular with Giannis and Paul George going forward in their respective series.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, we were talking about impressive things at sporting events that you've seen over the years. And I just got this tweet from Sam. He checked in. He had a great one. Was at the original Beastquake playoff game in 2010. Never been in a more electric atmosphere than that. when they said you could feel the stadium shake, it was no joke. Absolutely insane and amazing. It got me thinking, that's a great memory right there. Taking down the defending champion Saints, that's the other thing. They took down the Saints who had won a Super Bowl the previous season. And what a run by Marshawn. But that was a losing record that the Seahawks had, right? I think they were 7-9 and took down the Saints. Or maybe they were 8-8, but they did not have a winning record. But anyway, it got me. What's that? Were you saying something, Coop?
I was just going to say, to this day, that's still the coolest play I've ever seen.
Just insane. It was incredible what he did. The run against the Arizona Cardinals, like Beast Quake 2 or whatever you call that run, that was a crazy run also. To have those two runs on your resume and to grab your junk on both runs. what a capper, man.
Everything about it is awesome. Him launching, what's his name, Tracy Porter.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Yeah, think about that. I didn't even think about Tracy Porter, the hero with the pick six on Peyton Manning the season before. He's the guy who got stiff-armed from hell by Beast Mode the very next year. So that's a big change for Tracy Porter as well. But I was thinking, based on all these good memories, I don't know why, reading Sam's tweet about the Beast Quake mode, it made me think of like non-amazing memories. What's the game you went to where you paid an arm and a leg for a ticket and it turned into a boat race, right? Or it's just something horrible happened. I went to a game with my mom. It was for my birthday. I went to a Bears-Packers game. I always wanted to go to Lambeau, so we went there that year. Loved going. I adore my mom. It was a lot of fun. But the funny part, in a way, is what the quarterback matchup turned into. So Jay Cutler, I believe, was out for that game. So it was Josh McCown filling in for Jay Cutler, and it was the game that Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. So it turned into Josh McCown versus Seneca Wallace. And I'm like, oh my gosh, really? But I was happy to be there. We had a great time, but I was just thinking of the opposite of amazing sports experiences in person. That'd be one that qualified just in terms of the quarterback matchup, nothing else.
I have two of those.
We have.
The first one is one of Mike Trout's only playoff games.
Oh, man.
Yep. Yeah. I was there against the...
Was that the Royals?
Yes, it was the Royals.
Yeah.
I was actually there with Gavin Kinsel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Loser.
And it was pretty disappointing, to say the least. And especially because I think like playoff baseball atmosphere is... It might be unmatched. It's awesome.
I agree. Was that... Did they get swept? Was that game three the only game in L.A.?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then the...
I just try to remember. It sounded like I was pouring salt in the wounds. Now, correct me. Was Mike Trout 0-3 with two strikeouts? No, I don't know anything more than that.
You're probably not far off. I was just
making stuff up.
But the other one, and I think they ended up winning the game, but it had other far-reaching effects. I was at the game where Andrew Bynum tore his I don't know if it was the kneecap tendon or whatever that one is.
Yeah. That's brutal. I interviewed Andrew Bynum way back then. He was a nice dude. I was doing radio in Fresno, and I forget, you might know, it's is it Allison Bogley or something? She's been on the PR staff with the Lakers for years, the blonde-headed girl. She's been with them for years, and she was out there for an event. She was like, yeah, I'll hook you up with Andrew Bynum, and she set up the interview. He's a nice dude, but yeah. Oh, I have one memory, real fast. This is a funny story real quick. So I was doing updates. They used to do this, Doug Gottlieb, this was back in his ESPN days. And so he was doing a show called Game Night. And so this is the first radio gig I had in South Bend, Indiana. And the main dude was like, hey, you want to do updates? ESPN's asking for somebody. So I went to the Notre Dame Syracuse games, college basketball, I'm courtside. And I don't know what happened. It's like deafening in there. I've got the phone pressed against my ear. I can hardly hear anything.
So you were stringing?
Yeah, I was okay. stringing for it. Okay. And they would go to you. They'd be like, you'd hear it faintly like, all right, let's go. Brian No in South Bend. And I'm like, I think this is my cue. And I'm like, all right, first half, Notre Dame's up 42-43. Or I don't know, right? Like, I'm just, and I don't know what happened. The next update I did, somebody got hurt. And you could hear a pin drop. No one's making a noise at all. It looked like it was a serious injury. And they go to me, here's Brian though in South Bend. And I'm like, it was so awkward. I was whispering. I'm like, there seems to be a scary potential injury situation right now. Irish lead 45-43. Back to you.
But I don't remember the particulars. Stretchers are out on the field.
Oh, man. It was not good. Not good at all. I felt like I had a megaphone, too. I'm just whispering. I'm telling you, dude, no one was saying anything. And that, gosh, I don't even know what year. That's probably like 04, 05, somewhere around there. But, yeah, there you go. We've been going down a couple of different rabbit holes tonight. I like it. Impromptu stuff. All right, I got to get to the calls here. Momentarily. Let's do that. We'll stretch our legs out a little bit more so I don't give you just a quick, you know, I don't want to give you a quickie phone call. I want you to have some time. So we'll get to that momentarily. Also, a very interesting title that caught my eye. And could this be a sign of things to come? Entertaining story. I'll give that to you next. I'm Brian Noe, in for Big Ben. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From peasants to patriarchs, everyone is welcome in the secret society that is the Maller Militia. Listen live 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. But catch up on the shows you missed on demand around the clock via the podcast. Tell your friends and enemies about the virtues of the Ben Maller Show. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio content and give us a 5-star review. It helps supersize the Maller brand. Now let's get back to a man who is filling in for Ben as Ben is at a biker rally this morning, taking the night off. It's Brian Noe.
Thank you, Brian Fenley. Appreciate that. I can picture Big Ben at the biker rally getting ready for Game 6. Clippers trying to close out the Jazz. So it's a good way to pregame. Good way to pregame for a Friday night of hoops. I'm going to go out to the phones here. I don't want to get down a rabbit hole and start yakking away, so I'm going to go straight to Bring It Home, Jerome, going straight out to KC. What's on your mind, Jerome?
Brian, wonderful job filling in tonight. How are you guys doing?
Well, thank you for the kind words. I'm great, man. How are you doing so far?
I'm doing good, but listen, as a P1 Mallard Militia member and this being a sports talk radio show, I have to tell you, Brian, you talk way too much about sports. How about that?
Well, give me a non-sports topic. I'd be happy to dive into something non-sports-wise.
I will happily do that. Last week, I was having some technical difficulties. As the guy on the show knows, I made a trip out to L.A. last week, so I do want to share some of my adventures from my L.A. trip. But before I venture into that, I wanted to share what you were talking about earlier, the greatest sports moment. Now, if I heard correctly, you are a Cardinals fan. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So you'll remember this one well, and it fits in with my memory, joyous, and yours, not so joyous. I was at the Don Dinginger, the call game. How about that one?
Oh, my gosh. My dad, he hates the Royals to this day, Jerome. He cannot stand the Royals. True story, we went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and then we went to a Royals-Indians game afterward. And I leaned over, I was like, who are you rooting for? Because we're Cardinal fans, and we're watching a game with two American League teams. He looks at me and he goes, I can't bring myself to root for the Royals, going all the way back to the series where they got robbed in 85. Crazy. You were at that game, no kidding.
I was at that game. I saw the call. It was the most egregious call I had ever seen, but I don't care. When you're a fan of a team and that call goes your way, you'll take it. And that call changed the entire series. We were down 3-1 at one point. We were down 3-2 at that game. And that call just absolutely changed the whole pulse of the stadium. As Buddy Bianculana comes around home plate, you could hear a pin drop in that sixth game when they called him safe. It was I was a cotton candy vendor back in that day at Royal Stadium. And I've never heard such a silence in my entire life as they make that call at the plate, calling him safe. Of course, you know how the story ends. We go and we beat y'all ass like y'all stole something in game seven. And so, right. So really that, fine
that was just
for me.
For the people out there, Jerome, real quick.
That's a classic game, man. Yeah.
It was. That was the ninth inning. I believe it was a 1-0 game. And I think that would have been the first out of the ninth inning, but think about that. 1-0 game, if that call's made and there's one out, the Cardinals most likely close it out and win the World Series. It's amazing it went down like that.
I have no doubt that the Cardinals would have walked away with the championship that year. Hey, but thanks for handing it over to us. It took us a long time to get another one. But listen, guys, as I had shared, I was out in L.A. I enjoyed my time out there. Roberto, I'm assuming, is not in this, or Eddie's not in the studio tonight, and Ben's not in the studio, so I have to save some things that I wanted to share with them. But I have a little grievance with each of you guys in the studio for things that I feel like you should have shared with me prior to my coming out to L.A. Mm. Now, Coop, I'll start with you because Roberto's my man, 50 grand. Did you get your flag in, Roberto? Did you get your flag?
Yeah, I burned it already.
You burned it?
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to be kind to you because I know it's going to be a while before the Raiders are going to get one. So, but listen, because I listen to the Ben Maller show, there'll be some embellishments of the truth. But each of these things happened to me while I was in L.A., and I feel like you guys could have saved me a little bit of burden if you had just shared some things with me prior to my coming. Coop, you could have told me that you don't have to have a hookup. You don't have to know nobody. You ain't got to know a man. You can just walk into a store and buy weed when you come to California.
I thought that was common knowledge.
I almost got arrested because the lady thought I was making improper passes at her because I'm whispering what I want. I was like, hey, I heard you're the person that I need to see. And so I told her, I said, hey, I don't feel comfortable doing this around all these people. Can we go out back? And she wasn't having none of that. So that was not a welcoming experience. But I really, of all of the things that happened to me in California, man, what a treat it was just to be able to, you know, do what you do and not have to look over your shoulder like that. I enjoyed that part of L.A.
Was the trip good overall? You approved of it?
It was. The other thing. Listen, Roberto, you could have told me, man, because, you know, I love you doing your sex, you know, your segment Cooking with Roberto.
Yeah.
You know, have a great time listening to that. But you could have told me, man, that you can spend $150 to feed the seagulls if you're not careful. Now, listen, me and my wife, we drove up the coastline. We went up to Malibu. We went to this wonderful oceanside restaurant up in Malibu, had a fantastic time. It was beautiful. But my wife said, hey, I need to go to the restroom. And no sooner than she stood up and turned around from the table, it was like a scene from The Birds. The seagulls came down and attacked our food and took everything that we were eating.
Wow.
They took the shrimp, the linguine. Dude, they took all of my food. I was so embarrassed that I spent all of that money just for the birds to eat it.
That's rough, Jerome. Good stuff, man. I appreciate you checking in, and I'll pass.
I don't hang
along.
Out in that neighborhood. Sorry, I'm in the hood. Well, not really, but yeah, East San Fernando Valley, kind of hoodie.
Yeah, it's, yeah,
yeah.
That's a
hoodie. East Side? Do you still do that, Roberto? You ever do that every now and then, or it's not
east
quite
side?
Like
no, not
East
really.
Side, East Side?
No, not really. Yeah,
you just sort of mumble it type thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I gotcha. All right, coming up next, a player says we're built for these situations. Is he right?